Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to episode number 134. It's part two of my interview with the Christian author and screenplay writer Jeff Horton. Now, if you've ever wondered about changing your career, maybe making writing a book or a screenplay part of what you wanted to do, well, Jeff Horton is the person you need to listen to because he did just that. He quit his regular 9-to-5 job and just went by faith into the writing business and has made a successful transition. And he has been sharing value bombs with us in part one. If you missed part one, please go back and listen to episode 133 because you will be able to take notes and apply it to your writing style and maybe even be blessed with getting a screenplay published. But right now, I want to jump right back into the interview. It's part two, episode 134 with my interview with Jeff Horton, and I'll talk to you on the other side. You got a couple screenplays. What are their names? What are the screenplays called?
Yeah. Well, one of them was on cyberspace. It was I just adapted the cyberspace as a the first in a series of three novels in the cyberspace series. The first one is Cyberspace. The second one is Frontiers, and the third is New Beginnings.
Okay.
And cyberspace starts off. It's a kind of a mix of Tom Clancy's maybe Some of All Fears, maybe something like that, mixed with a Matrix with a little bit of Star Trek, Star Wars, something thrown in, and it progresses in the series with Frontiers, more science fiction. And then with New Beginnings, you know, pure 100%, you know, space opera, type of sci-fi, I've written the screenplay, adapted cyberspace to it, and with the hope and expectation to try to attract some attention, you know, in Hollywood. And
any luck yet?
I've had some. I've had what I would call maybe some nibbles. I've got an independent producer out there now who has been expressing, a young guy has been expressing some interest in it and talked about maybe doing something with it, waiting to see if anything happens with it. I'm pitching it next week to the, I think it's the same folks who did the new King Kong remake.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's just, you get a
process.
Chance. You go out and pitch to these guys, and you have as much chance as anybody of, depending if they're interested.
So. Do you actually physically have to go to their, interview board, or do you send something in, and then that's how it goes?
No, well, there's these, and for anybody who's interested in doing this, there's a website called Stage 32.
Uh-huh.
And there's actually some other ones, too. What is the other one? Roadmap Writer, I think, is the other one. Where you go in, basically, it's like, you know, you pay $30 and you get a 10-minute window with some executive from one of these production companies. And you get a chance either via Skype or via a written pitch, like a 1.5-2-page written pitch. And they'll consider, you know, your project, and if they reject it, they'll usually give you some feedback as to why.
You don't physically go before their board. It's via Skype or submit a written proposal. In addition to the 1.5 pages, do you also submit the actual screenplay in written form, or is just the 1.5 summary? And if they want more, they'll tell you.
Exactly. Yeah, if they want more, they'll ask you. And there's certain rules, like they don't want you to contact them unless they ask you for, you know, something more and all this kind of thing. So,
cool.
But yeah, if you Skype with them, you get a chance to actually, you know, see them face to face and talk to them. And some of these guys are actually, you know, senior executives, and some of them are, you know, lower level guys. Right. It just depends.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Now, I guess what we want to know is, what is setting your novels apart from the rest of the field?
Well, you know, I think the blend that I mentioned earlier of the Christian fiction with the contemporary, I'm really trying to write novels that are exciting, that are interesting, that are, you know, are gripping. I'm not trying to blow anybody else. There's some great novels out here. Yeah. I'm trying to say that I'm not writing novels that are like just directed only at just delivering Christian messages type thing. Some of them are, but they tend to be more interlaced with the overall message, you know, the overall storyline. I'm trying to make the primary thing a very interesting story with a lot of, you know, Christian messages, you know, as part of that, maybe in the subtext, as opposed to being the primary, you know. So instead of maybe writing a story about the salvation of, you know, Gavin Stone kind of thing, right? I'm writing a story about a cyber attack that could wreak havoc on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. You know, but, you know, oh, by the way, you know, some of these people are going to church. They're Christians. You know, there's or maybe I'm writing about a colonization of another planet. And there's, by the way, alien life out here. But, oh, by the way, they happen to worship God like we do, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, right. Okay. So how often do you cross that? I mean, you don't – how often in a science fiction film or book would you read about an alien life form that worships the same God we do?
Yeah. Amen. So, amen.
Yeah. Why so not?
Is your wife your biggest critic? Does she read what, you know, like the drafts and say, nah, this doesn't work, or you need to do this or that?
Well, you know what Jesus said, right? He said a prophet has no honor.
Amen.
But
she's not in the room with you.
No, she's not. She has read several of them, and like a lot of people, she doesn't necessarily like, you know, science fiction or apocalyptic fiction, but she really liked Heaven's Oasis. So of all my novels, she liked that one by far the best. And some of my other family members, my son, my oldest son, he's like 21 now. He was, very supportive when he was younger and was very involved with me. Went to some of my book signings. You may see some of the pictures where one of my children are with me at a book signing. That was him. Name's David. And he helped me, you know, early on with, you know, he was very supportive at times I was about to quit. And I said, I can't do this. He's like, no, Dad, you gotta keep going.
Amen.
And yeah, you know, and so he would read the storylines and he'd give me advice. In fact, I'm working on one right now, and he wanted me to send him the storyline so he could offer suggestions. And so he's still doing it, even though he's at Carolina now.
Amen.
You know, he wanted to see it, so he's still supporting me. But some of my other kids, you know, my daughters, I don't think are big fans of necessarily reading, and maybe just like a lot of kids, they just don't. And that's one reason why I've been trying to. I'm looking at adapting, you know, my novels into screenplays. I'd really like to see the cyberspace series and maybe the Great Collapse and the Dark Age made into film, and really The Last Prophet too. I think that would be a great book to adapt, because you know, so many people don't read anymore. It's a really,
right.
It's just,
that's true. Yeah.
And it's really a shame, right? Because, I mean, you get so much more out of reading than you do watching a film. I watch films all the time, but the experience is so much deeper and richer because you get so much more, right? I mean, having adapted a novel into a screenplay, I understand how much you have to cut out to fit.
Yeah, amen. So how can I phrase this? What is your main topic that you like to write about? I know Christianity is blended into it, but what is the main topic? You know, what's the main subject? Is it the cyber field because of your background?
I tend to write about things that are important to me, right? Things that I know or things that are important to me. Politics is something that tends to find its way in, just like my faith does. There'd be separating my faith from my writing would be like separating the English language from it. It just would be impossible.
Yeah, right.
I tend to have an element of, romance in all of them too. I enjoy having that. But yeah, I think, things like, I wrote the Great Collapse and the Dark Age, when I started reflecting one day on the reliance that our world has, on electricity, right? Yeah. I just reflected on, I've been in the business world for 20, 30 years, and I understand concepts like just in time, inventories and this kind of thing. And so if we were to suddenly lose electricity today, as opposed to, may say, 30, 40 years ago, the impact would be so much more severe, because companies don't stock like they used to. They rely on shipping to get them things they need the next day and whatever. And if all that suddenly stopped, they would be hurting a lot more. Mm-hmm. And our infrastructure, and so I wrote about, I say this a lot of times, but I was really stunned when I found out how legitimate my concern was. I had no idea there was an actual EMP commission that had, set up by Congress to study the impact of an EMP outage, on America. But there was. And in 2008, they concluded it could be catastrophic. They said that the nuclear warhead detonated over on, say, Kansas, could potentially knock out the power grid, and if that happened. Replacing the parts to replace that would need to be replaced are largely unavailable now. They're not made, it'd be bad news. And even the military, no longer since the Cold War has been over, has not been shielding as much against that as they used to. It's the scary stuff. Yeah. So things like that kind of strike me. Right, I write about those
the actual fabric of the American individual today as compared to 40 years ago. I mean, I grew up, we didn't have air conditioning, nowadays you can't live without it.
Yep. Right.
I mean, it's, or heat, if the heater went out, hey, throw a log on the fire,
Right.
But nowadays you can't do that. And you got these big high rises that have, 500 apartments in it or whatever. The electricity goes out, those people are hurting. That means the water's not pumping, which means the sewage is backing up. Look at New Orleans with Katrina. Yep.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And the scenario would be ugly very quickly. And in the novel, I suggest that people will be fleeing the cities very quickly.
Oh yeah.
To get out to the woods and living the way that our ancestors did, at least until they're able to kind of reestablish some order, because that's the only way they can survive.
Yeah, plus the cities will turn into anarchy.
Violence.
Yeah.
Yep. Extreme violence.
Yeah. Amen. Well, as far as advice for up and coming writers. Authors, what advice can you give them?
Well, I think, a heads up that it's really competitive now. And I don't want to discourage anybody. I think it's, I think Donald Mass mentioned in his book, Writing the Breakout Novel, which would be a great read for anybody who's looking to get into it. It mentions that, if you can find something else that you can do, do it. But if you really want to write, then write. Write because you enjoy it, because you want to do it. But you're going to have to realize that it is very competitive, and that, it's the days of, you write a couple of novels and suddenly you're famous. You know, that may have been the case, you know, or may not have ever really been really the case. just look at Herman Melville with Moby Dick. Yes. You know? Mm-hmm. He wrote Moby Dick and never really took off in his lifetime. But write because you enjoy it. The good news is there's so many different ways of being published, from self-publishing to finding, like I did, finding a small publisher who is either getting started or, you know, actively looking for new authors. Mm-hmm. You know, my publisher liked my writing and she was just getting started and was hungry for new authors. And so it was a good fit and she's been very supportive. And she now has quite a few authors on board, maybe 60, 70 authors or so. Wow. Amen. Yeah, quite a few authors on board. So there's just so many ways of now being published, you know, like through Amazon and CreateSpace and just sit down. And if you want to write, just, you know, like put one, you know, it was Lao Tzu, ancient Chinese philosopher, said, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step.
Yeah, single step.
And just sit down and just, you know, if you just start writing and pick something you like, something you know, something you want to write about, and just, you know, just start typing. And as you write, just as a story kind of progresses, start, you know, forming an outline and maybe let the outline grow and change as your story flows. And that's how I did it in the beginning, and it worked out well for me.
Amen. Now, as far as promoting your works, I mean, you mentioned Amazon, but there has to be other venues that up-and-coming authors can gain access to. You know, can you give any information on that?
Yeah, there's many. There's one, CBM, that I came across recently that I've recently started using as a few months ago, and they've been very actively working to try to market across the internet, you know, working on SEO type activities, you know, trying to increase visibility on my website. You have folks like that, and they're very focused on the Christian fiction type market.
And what was that called again? CBM.
It's CBM. I tell you, I'm trying to recall the exact name of that organization. I'll see if I can pull it up while I'm talking. But there's also a variety of ways you can use like Facebook has a lot of groups, right, you know, right, that are focused. That's a great tool. Twitter, you know, setting up, it used to be that blog hops were another very popular way of doing it. I'm not sure they're still as popular as they once were, but they are still helpful. And interviews like this with great folks like yourself, and radio interviews, and I think anything like that you can use to get your name out. Book signings. I've done some book signings and continue to try to that group that I mentioned, Pastor Bob, is CBM, Christian Book Marketing.
Okay,
they can Google that, Christian Book Marketing CBM. There are some great folks, and they've been working really hard for me.
Amen. So. Amen. Now, you mentioned book signings. Do you organize your own book signings, you know, by contacting like individual bookstores, or do you have like a package deal with your publisher? How's that work?
Yeah, no, I've organized them myself. The ones that I've done, they've been, either through local bookstores. I've done some with Borders back when they were still around. I've done some with Barnes & Nobles. I've done a number of coffee shops, including there's some local Starbucks that actually it was a popular location. I've done a few times and had a pretty good draw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, various venues like that are not bad. I think it's a great opportunity to advertise and get the word out.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to do one appearance on a local television station that they gave me a free. Yeah, you know, it worked out really well.
Yeah. Okay. What other types of book tours or anything coming up? Do you have anything coming up where people can come out and visit you?
I don't have anything currently scheduled. I'm working on setting up a new a couple of book signings. Nothing yet, though, but I'll have it on my website as soon as I have something set up. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask what other projects you're working on right now.
We mentioned, the kind of things that I like to write about, and one of the things that's kind of caught my interest lately is the current, it's not new, the political divide in our country, was so prominent. Yeah. And I've written a book called I'm in the middle of writing it. It's called Future Schism is the title I have to it. And I'm carrying the current divide to a possible future conclusion, that this divide continues to the point that it actually divides the country. Mm-hmm. Because I've often said, I wonder what it would be like if all the liberals, went, to the West Coast and right. all the conservatives on the East Coast, and we had actually, separated and had another, into two countries. Mm-hmm. And so they end up, separating into two. There's a what they call the Great Schism, which is basically a type of second, civil war with the two. And then they end up splitting in two. And the intent of the novel is to show that both suffer as a result of not having although I'm very conservative, I don't have any hesitation at all in saying that. I do think there are inherent weaknesses in the extremes on both ends.
Yeah.
And I think, having, compassion and all this is, of course, very important. And in my novel, both systems are abusive and or have turned into two resistance groups form to overthrow both. And of course, there's another love story in the midst of that. And there's going to be tragedy again in this. But there'll be a wonderful outcome. So that's I'm currently working to get that out, and then I'm hoping, I've been thinking about maybe adapting some of my other novels, perhaps The Last Prophet, kind of a left behind type novel, maybe into a screenplay.
Okay, all right. Now, if someone wants to purchase your books, I know they can get them from Amazon, correct?
Yeah, Amazon is probably.
What other ways can they get them?
Pretty much any anywhere on the internet, any bookstore through the internet, Barnes & Noble's, pretty much any of those guys will have them available.
Can they get them directly from your website?
I'm not really offering them directly off my website. They can get them off from my publisher, directly off my publisher's website. That's World Castle.
Okay.
WorldCastlePublishing.com.
I'm going to put links to this on the show page.
Wonderful. Thank you.
World Castle
Publishing. Yes.
Publishing.
Yeah. Now, let me, I should stress, Bob, that World Castle, they're not a Christian publisher.
Okay.
So they have some other mm-hmm. novels like paranormal stuff that I'm
right.
Yeah.
I understand.
Advise you and your listeners before they go there.
Not a problem. Now, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, maybe ask a question or come and have you come out and speak, do a book signing. How can they get in touch with you?
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, I have. I'm on Facebook. They can also email me. That'd be fine. Okay. My email is jeff@hortonlibrary.com. Mm-hmm. And, either way would be perfectly fine.
Okay, and your website address is?
www.hortonlibrary.com.
Amen. Well, folks, I don't know about you. I've been blessed by what Jeff's been sharing with us today. And I just want to encourage you, go to his website, www.hortonlibrary.com, and look around, read some of the clips he has there and some of the reviews, and get out there and purchase a book. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jeff, for coming on the program today.
I mean, it's thank you been for having
a privilege having you here, and eye-opening, actual peek behind the scenes, if you want to call it that, of what it takes to write a novel or write a screenplay. I appreciate you sharing all that information with us.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Amen. Folks, that's all the time we have today. For Jeff Horton and myself, I want to remind you, always be blessed in all that you do.